Please be seated, and good morning. Great to see you all this morning. Welcome. If you've been with me during the month of August, you know that my book has been Prosperity's Ten Commandments, written by Georgiana Tree West. She's a Unity minister. This is a great little book, and we have copies in the bookstore this morning if what I'm talking about this morning resonates for you and you'd like to do some more study. But she compares each of the Ten Commandments to specific commandments or ways that we can and could and should look at our prosperity related to the biblical teachings. And prosperity not just being of pocket. Words are funny, and I was talking with somebody a while ago about learning English. Oh, we have a friend in Palm Springs that's teaching English as a second language, and I was saying, I am so glad that English is my first language, because if you're trying to learn English as your second language and trying to figure out, think about there, and there, and some of those other, so English can be a little confusing. But if we look at the words that we use and the meaning that we attach to them, prosperity, meaning to prosper, for a lot of people and for me as well, normally sounds like money. But you could have all the money, more money than you could possibly spend, but if you don't have the health that allows you, your body, to do what you came here to do, you're not really prosperous. Or if you have money and health, but your relationships don't work with your significant other, but as well as with life in general, you're not going to be prospering and being able to do what you came here to do, because you may have some of that stuff. So we're talking about prosperity in general, and so the plan this morning is to very quickly go through the first seven commandments that we've talked about so far this month, and then do 8, 9, and 10. I need to tell you, we are not going to be watching football this morning. That is not the purpose of the television. I will not tell you the purpose of the television, but it is not to watch football. So anyway, I'm glad you're with me this morning. Our congregational song is Sacred Love. So we're talking this morning about prosperity's Ten Commandments. And just as a quick review, the first commandment was, you shall look to no other source but God for your supply. The second, you shall make no mental images of lack. And that, of course, talks about the movie that sometimes we create in our minds about, you spilled coffee on your shirt and you're late to work this morning, which means that you're going to get in trouble and you're not going to get your work done and you're going to lose your job and you're not going to be able to feed the dog and you're going to lose the house, and we do that whole movie. The third commandment, you shall not speak the word of lack or limitation. I remember in the movie The Ten Commandments, and we know from the Old Testament, Moses went to the mountain and got the listing of the I Ams. And God said, when Moses said, when I'm going to go and free the people of Israel from the Egyptians, I don't know your name, God. What am I supposed to tell them your name is? And God said, it is I Am. I Am the Great I Am. So every time we say, I Am whole, complete, and perfect. I am joyfully and lavishly abundant. I am free, strong, and healthy. Whatever we're saying, we are affirming that truth about ourselves. In the same way, I'm tired. I'm broke. I'm sick. I'm whatever. We are affirming those things about ourselves, and it's so important for us to not speak the word of lack or limitation or take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The fourth commandment, you shall let go and let God do it, which is comes under the remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In the current vernacular, give it a rest. In other words, do our treatment work. Absolutely know the truth. Have that faith. Release it and allow spirit or the universe or our higher power or whatever words we use to do whatever it is we've chosen and not help. To act on the intuitive ideas that come to us, but not give God a hand unless spirit tells us it needs a hand. And more often than not, it doesn't. The sixth commandment, you shall not take your wealth out of circulation. The seventh commandment, you shall not abase your wealth to idle or evil uses. And then starting with the eighth commandment for this morning, you shall not steal or you shall not seek something for nothing. And I love the movie The Secret because it was interesting. If you look at this teaching, and sometimes when I'm talking with people, oh, you're a minister. What faith or what religion or what group? It's religious science. It's not Christian science. It's not Scientology. It's religious science. I always make sure people know that because when they hear science, they might think of some other groups. It is religious science and it's based on the teachings of Jesus and Eastern religions and the law of attraction, which is the secret. It was so funny to me that that was the title of that movie because the truth is what we're studying, what we're knowing as our truth, what we're recognizing is the creative process in our life is really old news. I'm not telling you anything new this morning. What we do when we come together on Sunday and we come to our classes during the week and other special events is we're reminding ourselves of the truth and changing our beliefs that we've collected up until now that somehow we could be separate from our good. And remember that Emma Curtis Hopkins says good is another word for God. That somehow there's a God out there that's deciding what our good is and what it isn't. And we know that's not the truth. So it's so important for us to recognize that. But again, the secret is old news. It's all consciousness. This law of attraction, whatever we focus on, expands. How whatever vernacular you use when somebody asks you what it is that you teach or what your church teaches, it is this creative process that loves us, that always responds to us as we believe. We do our treatment work, and if you've been in the teaching for a while, you know that it's our affirmative prayer or our spiritual mind treatment. We do our work when we pray. We are not asking or begging or beseeching or pleading. We are stating our truth and we are accepting whatever it is we choose to accept, whatever we choose to experience. Then we release it and allow spirit to manifest that for us based on our belief. And sometimes it manifests immediately and you go around the corner and there's that parking place. You need to know what to say in a job interview or when you're talking with someone or when you're healing a situation. And sometimes if we have a situation with someone in our families or somewhere else, we don't know what to say. But spirit always knows. And so we give it a rest and say, spirit, God, higher power, creative process, loving, nurturing presence. I don't know what to do with this, but you do. So I release it and allow it. And we have the conversation. And it's better than it could have possibly been had we been in our heads and our egos trying to figure out what it was that we should have said. We allow spirit to talk through us and for us. And it's the most amazing experience. But sometimes it takes longer. And I've said this before and I'll say it again, but it's so important for myself to hear this. And as so often I say, it's so wonderful of you to be with me this morning. And I so appreciate it. But the truth is, I'm just talking to myself. But I'm really glad that you're here hearing me talk to myself. We have to do our work. And by work, I don't mean toting barges, lifting bales, strenuous activity. Doing our work is stating our intention, knowing the truth, releasing it, knowing Spirit's going to do this for us, but continuing to be aware of our beliefs and our feelings around this, whatever it is that we've chosen to experience. And if we start to get into the, well, I don't know how this is going to happen, or I don't know what I'm going to do about this, we do our work by loving ourselves and calmly reminding ourselves that it doesn't matter because Spirit's got this. We just remind ourselves that Spirit's got this. It's so important for us to have this personal, heartfelt relationship with this creative process that we call Spirit. And it's so important for us to recognize that our relationship is our relationship. And while we can pray for other people and do our treatment work for other people, the truth is they are on their path, and the only one that we can absolutely affect, we can know the truth for them, but we treat for ourselves because we're changing our belief. And when we pray for someone else, we're changing our belief about them. But it's so important that we have that personal relationship with this loving, nurturing presence. So we keep doing this work. And last week I talked a little about being in the garden and doing our weeding in the garden. You know, so you choose whatever it is you're going to plant. You're planting radishes. Plant the radish, weed out the garden to get the soil ready. And in our spiritual mind treatment work, we do that. We plant the seeds. We accept whatever it is we're going to harvest, if you will, whatever we're going to experience. Then we water, we fertilize, the sun shines, and the seeds grow. And sometimes there are weeds that get in there. And in our thoughts, the weeds get in there that are the collective consciousness about, well, when you get to be a certain age, and well, you know, your mother had thus and so, or your grandmother had thus and so, or your grandfather had thus and so, that stuff about heredity, then that we're stuck with whatever it is because of somebody else's experience. Or, well, you know, the economy is doing thus and so. All of these are weeds that can somehow appear in our garden. And it's so important that we just lovingly keep pulling them out and keep the soil clear of everything except that we've chosen to experience and allow whatever it is to grow, because that's what we harvest. In the teachings of Abraham, the book, The Amazing Power of Deliberate Intent, Esther and Jerry Hicks talk about and remind us, and again, this is nothing new, but they're talking about the fact that in this moment, we are creating what's next. In this moment, we are creating what's going to happen this afternoon and tomorrow and next week, because we are the creators creating the created. Because Spirit always says yes. God doesn't say, no, 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 that's way too good for you. Or, I'm out of cash this month, can I get back to you next month? Spirit never says that. Or, sorry, you've reached your limit at the ATM this month, you're going to have to wait till next month. Spirit never says that. Our higher power always says yes to us, but we're creating what we're going to experience this afternoon and tomorrow based on our beliefs. That's why it's so important for us to be aware of what we're thinking about and what we're talking about, because it becomes our experience. That's the secret that Jesus talked about 2,000 years ago and Lao Tzu talked about however many thousand years ago. It's the news that's no news. But we just need to be reminded of it. The ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against the source of your wealth. In the first year religious science class, one of the assignments that's often given is to say, and you've heard me talk about this before, say nothing unkind, untrue, or unnecessary. Sounds easy, doesn't it?
No.
Try it. I dare you. It is an amazing experience because, okay, we can figure unkind. You can pretty much figure what's unkind. Untrue, it's either true or it isn't true. So untrue we can figure out. But unnecessary, that's a hard one. That is a hard one. That you know, it may be the God's truth, but do we really need to say it? When we filter everything that we say about our bodies and about our money and about our relationships and everything through this filter, what we find is, and Edwin Gaines talks about this in the Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, she took this challenge and found that she had nothing to say, which is really pretty funny if you think about it. But the truth is, if we're truly only speaking about what we want to experience, we don't get into the Ain't It Awful Club about the economy or about the politics or about the Gulf or about the state of anything. Sometimes, if you're in a group of people, you don't necessarily need to get into a debate, but you can quietly say, and what in my house, what we quietly say to ourselves is, Tain't so. And for us, because again, the only ones we're working with is ourselves, that negates that negativity and that talk about what it is we didn't want to experience in the first place. If you don't want it, if you don't like Brussels sprouts, why would you go to the grocery store and buy Brussels sprouts and then bring them home and cook them? You didn't want them in the first place, why would you spend the energy on Brussels sprouts or whatever it is? Because you all pretty much know my feeling about Brussels sprouts. But that's a separate story. Emma Curtis Hopkins, and I won't give you the whole quote, but we talked about this last week. She says, right here at hand is the heavenly land, but how are you going to experience if you keep talking about how poor you are and how miserable you are and so on and so on? And I love this from our book for the month. Every time we say, I am poor, we are failing to keep our thoughts single on the truth of God's presence. In his presence is the fullness of supply for every need. Every time we talk about poverty, we fear false witness. I bet it that's way bare. We bear false witness against God, for we deny God's presence. We are definitely stating that there is an absence of the presence of God in our lives. I love the concept of this because that $100 bill in my wallet is the presence of God in my life. Doesn't that feel good? That supply is the presence of God in my life. That love that is in this room that's so wonderful to experience on Sunday mornings and other times is the presence of Spirit in our lives. When we talk about not having enough, when we talk about not being enough, we are denying the presence of God in our life. We know this cannot be true, so instead of bearing false witness against God, we should courageously face the condition in the positive knowledge that it is not true and has no place in our circumstances, which are impregnated with God's presence. We should also make a secret transaction with God in which we accept gladly, praisefully, the particular gift we are asking for at the moment. All the laws in God's universe of law are immediately operative on our unquestioning accepting God's good with the inevitable result of giving form to this good. And get this, all the laws in God's universe of law are immediately operative on our unquestioningly accepting God's good. When we pray, something happens. When we do our treatment work, something happens and the change begins to happen, or the manifestation begins to happen. And I don't remember if it was a Sunday morning talk or an email, but I shared the story of, I think it was an email, the man that died and went to heaven, and he's standing there and he's getting the tour of the facilities, and he goes into this great big huge room and there's all this wonderful stuff with his name on it. There's a bouquet of roses with the perfect relationship. There's a car, there's a new car, there's a house, there's just all this wonderful stuff. And he starts to get a little cranky because he says, pardon me, I ordered all those things, I prayed for those things, how come they're up here? How come those things didn't get delivered? How come I didn't manifest them? And St. Peter or whoever it was said, because you didn't finish your work. You ordered them, but you didn't make the way clear to manifest whatever that is. Sometimes we get impatient, and if whatever it is doesn't happen this afternoon, it wasn't God's will. And I so invite you, if you ever say it wasn't God's will or think that, I so invite you to look at that again, because God's will for us is that we have everything we need to come here to do whatever it is we came to do. To have all the money that we need to do whatever it is. To have the health, to have the relationships, to have the kingdom, which is not the sweet by and by. The kingdom is in this moment, all the abundance, all the joy, all the experience of spirit, that is God's will for us. So if it's not happening, it's not that we need to talk God into doing something. It's not that we're paying for our sins from a previous life. It's that we have a belief that we need to change. That's all it is. That's all it is. We just need to change our belief about that. Last week I shared this story, and it's worth repeating. In the book that my foundations class just finished, we used Frederick Bale's book, The Basic Principles of Science of Mind, and he talks about different types of treatment, one of those being the refusal method. And the refusal method, and the example that he gives is, suppose a man came to your door right now with an elephant. And those of you that were with me about last week, I apologize, but you won't mind hearing this again. Suppose a man came to your door right now with an elephant. Suppose he told you he was disbanding his circus and he decided to give you this tremendous beast. You reply that you do not want the animal, but he insists that he is leaving it with you just the same. You then tell the man that you have not solicited this doubtful gift, nor have you any place to house it. And if he persists in the matter, you have the right to do the final thing and say, I refuse to take delivery or accept this thing you offer, whereupon you may close the door in his face, and under the law he is compelled to take the unwelcome beast away. Sometimes we need to do this. Sometimes we need to say, no, I refuse. In our spiritual mind treatment, we are meditative and we are centered and we're quietly knowing the truth. But sometimes we need to speak up, and I so invite you, if you don't do your treatment work aloud, I invite you to try it, because it works for me, because I hear my words that I am speaking, and I hear the power that I have, not because I'm doing anything, it's the Father within that doeth the work, but it reminds me of my power because Spirit always responds to me. And so we say, no, I don't accept that belief in lack or struggle. No, I don't accept that health challenge. No, I don't accept whatever it is. We say no to the elephant and send him on his way, and he's got to go find someplace else to live, because it's always our choice and we choose not to have the elephant. With all due respect to elephants, we can choose that. And then finally, the 10th commandment, you shall not limit yourself by coveting that which is another's. You shall claim your own. when we look at someone else's good, when we look at someone else's experience and say, I've been buying lottery tickets for however many years, how come they won the lottery? Or how come their house is so big? Or what did they do to get the new car, the new house, the new spouse, the new whatever? The truth is, when someone wins the lottery, it's an amazingly wonderful thing, because what that means is we can too. When someone has a new house or a new job or a wonderful relationship or whatever that we look at and say, gee, I want that, the truth is we can too, because spirit always responds as we believe, and it's all consciousness. So the way somebody got that was consciousness, and the way that we'll get it is consciousness, and the way that we'll keep it is consciousness. It's the consciousness knowing that spirit is our source, and our good comes to us, and our good doesn't stop coming to us. So it's so important for us to recognize that what we have is ours, and like we talked about before, there's no limit at the ATM today. There's no limit on the good that can be ours. There's no limit on the health that can be ours. And well, when you get to be a certain age, you can't be doing thus and so. That's nonsense. There's no limit. The only limit on any of that is what we place on ourselves. When we covet, we look at situations outside ourselves in the false belief that they come from somewhere else. But the truth is that our health, our money, our wealth, our relationships are an inside job, because that's where spirit resides. That's where our good comes from. I found Wayne Dyer's book, and you know this is an old Wayne Dyer book because he had hair when he wrote it. You'll see it when you believe it, and it's a great little book, and he talks about a man searching for his lost key outside his home under the street light. When a stranger inquired if she could help him look for the lost key, he was most grateful. After 30 minutes of fruitlessly searching, the stranger asked, "Where did you drop your key?" "Oh," he replied, "I dropped it inside the house." "But why are you looking outside under the street lamp if you dropped it inside the house?" she asked. "I have no light inside the house," he says, "so I came out here to look where there's light." When we're looking for, I know, when we're looking out, the point is, when we're looking for something outside ourselves, when we're looking for our approval, I'll know that I did a good job as soon as you told me that I did. I'll know that I'm looking thin and trim as soon as you tell me I do. I'll know that whatever as soon as it comes from somewhere else. I'm looking to my job for my, or my investments for my good. I'm looking to what, anything outside myself for anything. The truth is, we'll never be satisfied, because the good and the approval and the love has got to come from inside us, because that's where spirit is. That's where the source of our good resides, is within us from spirit. So I love that quote that Clara read this morning, because the bottom line of all of this is, what do we believe and what do we feel about our prosperity? If we have anything, if we're talking about money, if we're using the M word, and we've got any kind of discomfort around that subject, or any discomfort around relationships or health or whatever it is, it's so important for us to recognize what we're feeling and go in and heal those beliefs, because our beliefs become our feelings, and our feelings become our experience. It's so important for us to look at that and be comfortable, because the truth is, it's just no thing. Money is the expression of spirit. Money is absolutely the expression of spirit, and God's will for us is more than enough to do what we came here to do. Anything less than that is not God's will. Not that we get punished for it. It's not punishment. It's just the reflection of whatever it is we're believing about that experience in our lives. I talked earlier about that personalizing that experience of spirit, and it's so important for us. In the book, Wayne Dyer says, you cannot drink the word water. The formula H2O cannot float a ship. The word rain cannot get you wet. You must experience water or rain to truly know what the words mean. Words themselves keep you several steps removed from the experience. So we think the word, we translate the thought into the feeling, but it's so important that we recognize that this presence, this spirit, this higher power, this universe, whatever word we use to describe it, loves us, does not judge us, always says yes to us, and it is its will that we have all that we need and more. But it always says yes to us, whatever our belief is. It doesn't withhold, we withhold based on our beliefs about whatever the situation is. So the feeling is so important, and the feeling of being wealthy, the feeling of being prosperous, and whatever prosperous means to you, is so important. In that Abraham book, they give the example of having a $100 bill in your wallet and carry it with you and be aware of it. And when you go shopping, look at all those things that you could buy with that $100 bill, and don't buy them. But it's the feeling, because, oh, I could buy that new suit. Oh, I could have the filet instead of a salad. Oh, I could whatever. When we do that, it brings us that feeling of prosperity. And what our feelings do is become our experience and draws more experiences that have that feeling to us. So I invite you to consider that extra $100 bill, take it out of savings if you need to, and just tuck it in your wallet. And remember, when you're going shopping, not that you're going to spend it, but you could, because you're already prosperous. You're already wealthy, and that draws more experiences with that feeling to you, and it feels so good. The truth is, we're always determining what's next. And when our faith and our belief and our knowing is that life with a capital L is for us, then life with a lowercase l will look like life is for us. And we get offered a job before the first interview is done. We get checks in the mail from the IRS. We draw the most amazing people to us that love us and support us. And we just have all of those things. And it looks like, wow, life must be for you. And the truth is, it is. It is for all of us, but we need to accept it. It's always right there for us. We just need to say yes to it, because we're always creating what's next. And what's next, we can choose to have better than it's ever been, because the universe always says yes. Always says yes. I'd like to close with a great story. This was written by Dr. Tom Costa, and he talks about an elderly woman was given the diagnosis that she would not live very long. She called her minister to make plans for her funeral. She told him what mortuary to call and gave the minister a list of things she wanted to happen at the funeral. She wanted In the Garden and Amazing Grace to be played and sung. She wanted the 23rd Psalm to be read and made a number of other requests. The last item on the woman's list, however, took the minister by surprise. "I want to be buried with a fork in my hand," the woman said firmly. The minister gulped a bit, for it was an unusual request. "Why a fork?" he asked. The woman explained that at many luncheons and potluck dinners at the clubhouse she had attended, the waiter or waitress would come by the table, pick up the dinner plate, and say to her, "Keep the fork." Keeping the fork probably meant that something yummy was about to follow. Don't you love that story? Because we're always creating what's next. I so challenge each of us to keep the fork, because what's next can be incredibly yummy. With that in mind, let's move into the light. Thank you. So in the peace and the quiet of this moment, recognizing that there is only this moment, we know and we feel and we accept and we remind ourselves that there is only one. One power, one presence, one intelligence, and that is God. That is the universe, that is spirit, that is our higher power, that is the loving, nurturing presence, the creative process that loves us, that nurtures us, that always supports us and always responds to us as we believe. And we know that we are one with that creative process. There is no place where this presence is not. It is in us as us. It is the essence and the experience of our money, of our health, of our relationships, of every experience we have. It is the experience and the essence of spirit. And we acknowledge that and we remember that this morning. And we're in gratitude for the opportunity to come together and to be reminded that spirit always says yes to us, and that we are creating our next experience. And so with that in mind, we choose to have the experience of greater prosperity, prospering in every area of our lives, in our money, in our relationships, in our health, in our day-to-day experience of everything, knowing that, as the Course in Miracles says, everyone and everything we meet today leans toward us to bless us. And as it does, and as they do, we bless them back. So we move forward today in great joy, knowing that we are the beloved of God, that nothing is withheld from us. And for anyone who's placed a request in our box this morning, we know for them that Spirit always says yes, that their word, whether written or spoken, never returns to them void. And so we accept whatever it is, the wonderful manifestation of the new job, the perfect health, the new experience, whatever it is, greater than they could possibly imagine, knowing that the universe always says yes. We give great thanks for the opportunity to come together for this wonderful place we call Joyful Living Church. And together we say, and so it is.